The soldiers pile out of the back of the truck, wearing bright yellow hazmat suits, MP5s at the ready. The bodies are packed in so tightly around the steps to the chapel that they dash across rib cages and cloak-swathed torsos on the way to the open door. There's a snap of gunfire from up top. Two of the soldiers drop to their knees and reply with a burst of aimed fire. A black-clad figure tumbles from the roofline. One of the soldiers throws something up and over the eaves. The others take cover as the fragmentation grenade explodes.
"What's up there?"
Mo tries to ask, shouting in Barnes's ear.
"Bad guys,"
Barnes grins hungrily.
"Ah."
He taps the earpiece screwed into his left ear.
"Follow me."
The gunfire from the defenders on the roof has stopped as he steps out of the back of the truck and walks towards the chapel entrance. Mo follows him, her violin raised. They're halfway across the 10-meter gap when a silhouette lurches clear of the side of the building and throws itself towards the major. Barnes raises his HK-5 and plants a neat 3-round group in the middle of the assailant's torso. By the time Mo's bow makes contact with an eerily blue-glowing string, the fluorescence in the back of the Revenant's eye sockets has begun to fade.
"Bloody fans, always waiting outside the dressing room."
Barnes cocks his head on one side, listening.
"Dr. O'Brien, this way, now."
They're inside in seconds, and one of the soldiers pulls the tall oak door shut behind them. The chapel hall is full of bodies, the long dead and the fresh draped across one another in promiscuous embrace. Some of the recent bodies are naked. In the soldiers' infrared vision, they still glow with body heat.
"Look sharp, some of them made it to the door,"
Howe comments over the open channel. A couple of bodies still clutch bulky assault shotguns with drum magazines. One, wearing a distinctly more professional camouflage rig than the rest, is holding a Russian AKS-74 rifle. None of them, however, are moving. The feeders have eaten their fill and moved on.
"Trapdoor over here, sir."
One of the troops waves, pointing at a raised door.
"Secure it," says Howe. "Tidily, our boy might still be down there."
He doesn't say what everyone fears. The next living soul they find in the city of the dead will be the first. As the soldiers move in, something runs at them out of the tunnel, frighteningly fast. There's a burst of automatic fire.
"Hold that,"
yells Howe, as the Revenant comes apart in a tumbling rain of dust and bones.
"Batons!"
A pair of troops step forward, holding heavily customized cattle prods before them. Electrical shock rods, customized with signal generators to loosen the grip of extra-dimensional horrors on their walking hosts. There's a snap and crackle of sparks as they test their tools.
"You think he's down there?"
Mo says quietly. Major Barnes nods.
"Cultists, they go to ground for their rituals."
Up ahead, Scary triggers his shock stick, sparking the terminals. He grins at Howe.
"Oh, I love the smell of..."
"Don't say it, son, unless you want a week on toilet duty."
"Oh, Sarge."
He steps forward, bending to follow the lead team into the cellar.
"That's harsh."
There are no living bodies in the tunnel. Some of the possessed are still stirring feebly, their luminous eyes guttering in the darkness. But the flying wedge of soldiers with shock sticks shut them down in short order. It's easier than clubbing baby seals. At the end of the tunnel, they come to an open door. Now there's noise, and the troops take up position to either side of the entrance, ready for a forced entry. But while they're waiting, Dr. O'Brien and Major Barnes arrive. Mo holds her violin, ready for a killing chord. Barnes glances at her, then waves Howe back from the right-hand side of the door.
"What do you think?"
he asks quietly.
"It stinks, sir. You saw the soft kit back there?"
"I did. I reckon we've got company. More to the point, we haven't found our boy yet. Could be a hostage situation."
"Shit, I'll tell Moran to bring up the snoop kit."
Mo's eyes are hollow shadows in the darkness.
"Major?"
"What is it?"
She points at the entrance with a hand half folded around something.
"He's definitely in there."
She unfolds her hand, palm upwards, to reveal the cracked and battered screen of Bob's iPhone, icons glowing balefully in the darkness.
"Got a soul tracker on this thing. He's alive, and he's not alone."
Which is when the screaming starts. Alexei is becoming annoyed. He's been down in the crypt for half an hour, moving with painstaking care. The place is literally crawling with the risen dead, feeding on the dwindling survivors of the Black God slave cult, some of whom have barricaded themselves into the ossuary, with predictable consequences. And only sheer luck and the Revenant's lack of situational awareness has saved him. They don't communicate with each other, don't raise the alarm when he lands among them and lashes out with a sharp-edged entrenching tool, or shoots their neighbors with a silenced pistol firing banishment rounds. It would be good news under other circumstances, but Alexei is acutely aware that he has a serious lack of backup, and a mission that under other circumstances would be hopelessly compromised. The sounds of gunfire from up above had nearly died out 10 minutes ago. Now they're getting louder and more frequent. And there's something different about them. Different weapons, much tighter fire discipline. The new shooters are professionals, but they're not his squad. They're firing NATO-spec ammunition. As it is, it looks like the only way out is in. If he can find somewhere to hole up until morning, he stands a chance of exfiltrating on foot. And if he can meet the mission's core objective, retrieve the missing document, so much the better. And everything looks like it's coming down to this corridor here, and the open doorway gaping blackly at the end of it. Alexei glides towards the entrance, then pauses briefly on the threshold. It's a cul-de-sac, and every instinct warns him not to go in. At least not without a couple of fragmentation grenades to clear the way. But there's a quiet sobbing sound coming from inside. A woman's lamentation. And if the mission target is present, it wouldn't do to cut up hard. He adjusts his goggles, then flashes his infrared torch briefly at the ceiling. A confused jumble of impressions. Bodies. Mattresses arranged in concentric rings around a pit, leading down to an altar. There's a four-poster bed behind the altar. The sobbing comes from a figure on the bed. Sacrificial victim, thinks Alexei. There are bodies, some new and some old. This is not a novelty. The idea of rescuing a victim from the cultists, however, holds some appeal, especially as she might know where they will have taken the mission target. Alexei is Spetsnaz through and through, the product of an incredibly harsh training system, ruthlessly self-disciplined.